strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for April 10th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I am here today to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 42 in the house, and I am here on my own once again to talk to you guys, answer some questions, and run through the day. Now, I'm technically on my own, but I do have a kitten with me. I'm not sure if he's going to make an appearance, but he's my partner in crime today. So we'll see how that goes. All right. So we're going to be talking about yesterday on the feeds. We've got an HOH result. We've got plans for the week, and we've got potential alternative plans. So some interesting stuff here to get through. All right. Okay. Are you guys ready? Should we start the day? Because they played in an HOH competition, and the result is that Jed has won the HOH. Jed is the new HOH. The trio is in charge. They know what they're doing. They're winning the comps, and they've got the HOH. They've made it happen. Now, apparently, this was the some sort of competition where they have a they were in like the ball pit or so. There was a ball pit, perhaps, and they were searching for certain kinds of balls. They were putting them in tubes, and you could target other players by putting like balls with X's in certain players' tubes or something along those lines. And Tara was very upset in and after the HOH competition because she, first of all, did not win. But second, she was targeted in the competition. She felt like she was targeted by the trio, but she also felt like she was targeted by Brayden, who was putting X balls in her tube. Why would Brayden do that? She wonders. She apparently flipped out and called everyone cowards for not targeting the trio in the competition. Which, I mean, yeah, this is Tara, but also kind of fair, I think. I mean, certainly not fair to yell cowards to everyone. That's not a great game move, but if Brayden really is targeting Tara in this HOH competition, I really, I mean,
so embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing. Like, Brayden, what are you doing? Why would you target Tara in this competition? And it gets worse. They are later going to talk about this competition and say that Brayden was doing really well, that he was right there with Jed, and at one point he was actually in the lead. And it makes you wonder, you know, could he have won had he targeted Jed instead of Tara? Who knows? Maybe that would have caused them to target him sooner. Maybe he couldn't have won regardless. Maybe he was just trying to save face, but definitely not the exact right call here from Brayden, in my opinion, to target Tara in the HOH competition. With Jed as the HOH, things are going to be looking a little bit dicey for Brayden this week. So the feeds come back up on Tara and Ty, and this caused some confusion because initially people were like, hey, Tara must be the HOH because Ty is apologizing to Tara and Tara is acting like, hey, I'm going to put you guys up. And it was like, what? But this conversation is him explaining himself and apologizing for targeting her in the HOH competition, kind of trying to explain maybe why other people might have been targeting her in the HOH competition. And she's just over it at this point. She's just like, I just can't even like, yeah, you know what? I would have put you and Jed on the block, Ty. That's what I would have done. What else do you want me to do at this point? Of course I'm going to put you guys up. You guys are the strongest players left in the game. You've never worked with me. You are loyal to each other. Why would I not put you up? And he's like, yeah, we tried to work with you, though. We tried to work with you early on. It's like, sure. But what do you want me? You approached to work with me early in the game. But I know you've got Toya. I know you've got Beth. I know you've got Kiefer. Like, how are you going to be more loyal to me than those people? And then so you never know. You never know. It's like, and like, how am I going to feel valued by you when last week you're going back and forth constantly all week about whether or not you're going to keep me or Vic all week long? It was exhausting, Ty. I had to go up there and make the same pitch to you guys over and over and over, and it felt like it was never enough. Tara just doesn't care anymore. She's just out. She's just like, I'm done. I'm done pretending. Yeah, I would have put you guys up. Terrible move. I don't know what she's thinking. I don't know why she's being like this. She should be doing her best to pretend like she's the most loyal person in the world at this point. But she really doesn't think it matters. So, because the problem is that Tara assumes that the trio are like fully logical players. And so she's like, well, look, it was ridiculous that you believed this lie in the first place, because it makes no sense for me to not target you. So clearly, obviously, at this point, there's no way you believe I wasn't targeting you at this point. So I might as well just be open and honest about it. But she should be lying to them. It's what we've learned about this game. Beth, Ty, Brayden, Kiefer, and Jed are all going to talk. They can't believe that Tara has the
audacity
to say that she would put Jed and Ty up on the block. They cannot believe it. They talk about how they want to win the veto. Brayden's like, I've been so close to winning every time. And Beth's like, you really have been, Brayden. You really have been. Brayden, you should not be hyping yourself up in the competitions right now. It's not a great place for you to be. It's not good. Tina and Tara are going to talk. They think that there's a chance that the trio might take a shot at Kiefer this week. I mean, he is their biggest threat. So if the veto is used or if there's some kind of replacement, they think, why wouldn't they target Kiefer? I mean, sure, Brayden's a threat, but Kiefer's an even bigger threat. They just took out Vic, who was working for them. They might as well take out Kiefer. And honestly, I'm inclined to agree. But who knows? Kiefer, Jed, and Ty are going to talk for a bit. Kiefer says that he really got into it with Tara during the HOH competition. When she called everyone cowards, he was like, you know what? Well, I'm voting your ass out. I don't care. I don't need your jury vote, Tara. I don't need it. And to Kiefer's credit, I think that, you know, this is part of, like, he's really selling his loyalty to the guys and sort of trying to maybe sell that he is not necessarily a huge threat in the end. But also, this is just Kiefer, and he's just being arrogant. he's like, you know, the thing, too, is that there could have been a discussion this week. It could have been a discussion because Brayden's a big target, big threat. Brayden's the smart move to get out this week. But now Tara has to go because she did that. And Ty's like, yeah, but what do you think about Bray? And Keith's like, well, he's scary. He was right there with you. He was in the lead for a while. I do not want him in the final five. He is a scary person to have in the final five. And Jed says, yeah, you know, after the veto, I think we really need to have a discussion about the Braden situation. Kiefer says he does not want to push too hard for Tara, but he would love to have five Sunsetters in the final five. That's the ideal. Let's try and make sure that we keep Tina around. And they all agree. You know, they've all agreed that they want Tina in the final four, unbeknownst to Kiefer, but they agree that they would like Tina in the final five. They're also going to talk, and this is funny because this has kind of been a discussion in the fan base, they talk about they're so appalled by the oddballs, like the name of the oddballs. They're like, how are we considered the cool kids to them? There was a group of seven people trying to get us out. We were not the cool kids. That was not us. How did we get there? They also are going to talk about how, like Jed's like, yeah, I can't believe Ro didn't use the veto on Austin. Like at the time I was like, that would be so stupid. He'd piss so many people off, but thinking back on it, like, no, he definitely should have, because who did he make happy by not using it? Tina and Tara? Like, he should have kept her in. She was a big target and she was good at comps. If he had protected her, maybe he would have had more of a chance. And I am again inclined to agree. That was my stance, especially once, because here's the thing. He was doing good work with the triangle, but then he screwed it up by trusting Beth too much and giving her way too much information and trying to turn her against them. And at that point, he really just needed stronger numbers than Tina and Tara. So I do think that using that veto would have been the better shot there at that point. Kiefer's also going to talk about, Kiefer has now admitted that he knew that Vic was the invisible HOH. I don't know why he admitted this, but he admitted that she told him that she was the invisible HOH. And he talks about how he knew and like, oh, he just didn't want to say because he didn't want to screw up his own game or anything like that. And they're like, oh, yeah, it totally makes sense that you did that. But they're going to be mad about it later, because why wouldn't they be? They were talking to Kiefer that week about how they were sure that Vic was the invisible HOH. And Kiefer was like, I don't know, though. Is she? I didn't think so. Like he was actively trying to pretend like he didn't think she was the invisible HOH when everyone else knew. And that's because he knew for sure. And, you know, I don't know why he decided to admit this. It was a very strange decision, but they talk about that as well. Beth is going to join the conversation, and they talk about how Braden is leaving this week. They talk about Braden leaving this week, and the possibility of it, that if Braden leaves this week, the only problem is that if one of Tina or Tara win, then for sure one of them is going on the block. Tina or Tara will put Ty, Jed, Beth on the block just like that, no question. Whereas if Braden is in the house and Braden wins, there's a chance that they could talk him into doing something else, right? Meaning just get Tina on the block. If Braden wins, if they can get Tina on the block, they'd have the numbers to send out Tina and they'd be okay. There's no chance that Tina or Tara put each other on the block. So the best chance of getting through this final six to the final five is if they have Braden and Tina in the house, where they might put each other on the block. So Beth is like, yeah, this, it would be dumb to take out Braden this week because of that, because of those numbers, right? The order should be Tara and then Braden. Then Braden. Braden should be gone at final six. If Braden won, they would just need to convince him that Kiefer is the target next week and not him, and then make him feel comfortable enough to put Tina on the block. Now, would Braden put Tina on the block? I doubt it. I mean, I know that he's made some questionable decisions throwing these competitions, but man, the thing is, we don't have confirmation that he threw the double eviction HOH, and we don't know for sure that this HOH was winnable for him. So it's still possible that he's just doing his best, but I don't have a ton of faith. I don't have a ton of faith. Honestly, I'll say again, I think that the move here is to snipe out Kiefer. I think that Kiefer is a dangerous player in the game. I did the exit interviews with Vic and Ro yesterday. They were attached to yesterday's update. If you heard them, they are also a separate video on YouTube. Unfortunately, they were not able to have video themselves, so it's just a video of me, just like this one. But you can listen to that if you want. One of the main takeaways from talking to Vic and Ro is that they are very high on Kiefer's game. They both ranked him first as the most likely person that they would vote for, the person that is doing the best in the game. And basically at every opportunity when I ask them about their jury philosophy, different aspects of what they're looking for in a player, they continually brought up Kiefer as the example of what they're looking for. So I very much expect that Kiefer is a jury threat at the very least. And he's great at these competitions. He's great at memorizing things. He's great at days. And he crushed that before and after competition. Definitely somebody that they need to watch out for. And I do think they need to take that shot. I really do. If they let Kiefer into the final five like they plan, if they take out Terra, then they also need Brayden out, because Brayden's also a big enough threat that he could easily take them out, and a big enough jury threat that he could beat them in the end, especially if he goes on a comp run. So they need both Brayden and Kiefer out. If they wait on Brayden and Kiefer this week, they take Terra out this week, then they head into the final six with both Brayden and Kiefer. They would need to get both of them out at 6 and 5 if they want to prevent one of them from being in the final four, which they should, because the final four gives them two opportunities to be safe and ruin the final three that they all want. They genuinely seem to want. And even if you're Beth and you're like, I kind of want one of the guys to go out, it's still no good, because you don't know that you'll be able to get one of the guys out at that point. You may be the threat there more so than Ty. Let's say Jed is the HOH and Brayden or Kiefer wins the veto. Beth is going home, because they're not going to take out Ty over Beth. Beth, who has Jed. It's just, I think she's in trouble there. So they really need to worry about Brayden or Kiefer being in the final four. And I don't think they should take the risk of being able to get them out back to back in at 6 and 5. I really think they should take the shot now. And Kiefer, I do think, is probably the better shot here. But I think Brayden isn't a terrible shot either. The problem is with Brayden that it's a similar thing that they talked about, which is that if they take Brayden out, they're leaving Tina and Terra in. And if Tina and Terra win, they are still coming after them as well. So it's really at this point just a matter of who do you think you can beat? And, you know, they have proven time and time again that Tina and Terra are easier to beat. And that's where I'd put my money personally. So Beth, Jed, and Ty are going to talk a little bit more, because their previous discussion is broken up by the fact that Brayden walks in to the HOH room. And this is becoming a problem. It's, you know, in Winners at War, when they did that, the thing with Nick, where he would just kind of like slide in to the conversation. That's Brayden constantly. Now that he doesn't have Austin, he has been hanging out with the trio a lot, popping into the HOH room a lot. Now, last week, we were like, this is great. He's socializing. Good job, Brayden. He's talking game with them. This is great. The problem is, they're no longer really talking game with him because they don't trust him. Vic really helped make sure that they would not trust him. And so now it's just kind of socializing. But the problem is that they don't want to socialize with him all that much. And they don't want to talk game with him because they're considering getting rid of him. And so they're just trying to hang out, talk strategy, joke around, and every time they get any piece of, like, anytime they get anywhere, it's privately, in pops Brayden. And it's really frustrating Beth in particular. That's, she's just like, we can't have a second to ourselves without Brayden popping it. And this is the problem. I think that this is genuinely a mistake that Brayden is making, because, it's one thing to hang around people a lot and talk strategy with them. But when he pops in and he's just hanging out and socializing, like, we have reached a point in the game where socializing is not as effective. At this point in the game, it's about strategy. And if you're going to be around people, you need to be talking strategy with them. Being around them so much and not talking much strategy is actually, I think, worse, because you're not giving them much reassurance that you're actually working with them or for them. If he was constantly telling Beth, like, I've got you, you are my person, you are my final two, let's make this happen, what are we doing, how are we going to do it, that would be one thing. But he's not. He's kind of going in there and he's just kind of like, so what are we up to now, guys? So it's not great. It's not great. And Beth is getting annoyed. She's also getting annoyed with Tina, because she tried to study with Tina, and she was asking Tina questions, and Tina was not giving her the answers to those questions. She's like, what day was this? And Tina's like, ah, I don't know. What, you don't trust me? You don't trust me to give me answers to questions? No, of course not. Why would somebody study with you? This is always one of those weird situations at the end of, I mean, both of these situations near the end of the game, when you're studying with your enemies, like, how much do you study with them? How much do you give them? How do you pretend to be studying with them? While also, like, because it's very easy to test, like, you give them a wrong answer, but then they might feel like now you're trying to intentionally sabotage them. You could say, I don't know, but then they feel like you're holding back. You could give them the answer, but then that could be the answer that is the difference between, you know, you winning a comp or them winning a comp. So it's like, what do you do? And it's also weird for Brayden, because, like, who else does Brayden hang out with in the house? Like, he is a social guy. And I think that he genuinely is just like, well, I need to be with people. And he's not just going to hang out with Tina and Tara all the time. Like, they're, you know, way older than him. Like, there's not a lot of common ground there. So he's going to hang out with the people he can relate to a little more, the people who are closer to his age. And they're the only people left in the house. But they don't want it. They want to hang out with each other. He's never hung out with them before. He's got nowhere to go. And so it's a bit of an awkward situation there. But Jed says, you know what, should we snipe out Brayden this week? Should we make this happen? And Jed keeps bringing up this option over and over. And he continues to say, like, hey, it's an option for us. Jed says, we're putting up the Tina and Tara. We're putting them up. But if we win the veto, we can discuss a backdoor option for sure this week. That is the plan. They mentioned, you know what, here's the thing. If Kiefer beats us, we can be okay with that. If Brayden beats us, no, we would not be okay with that. So that's why they would sooner take a shot at Brayden than Kiefer. And Beth talks to Ty and she's like, hey, Ty, you need to be working on Brayden more. You need to be making sure that he would not take that shot in case he wins. And Ty says, I've been doing it. I've been working on him. I've been doing the cuddling and stuff, but man, he can be a bit much though. She's like, oh man, I know. And he says, I don't know if I could take it if Brayden won HOH, because he'd want me in that HOH room. And that would be too much. And then the feeds are going to cut. So, the hopes of, I don't know what this ship name was necessarily, but, the hopes of the Ty Brayden, showmans, I think were dashed here, yesterday. And, it's a weird situation. Jed is going to take Tara to Wendy's. Finally, Tara gets to go to Wendy's. But man, you know, it would have been nice. Would have been nice to get a heads up that she was going to Wendy's because she already ate. You just can't win with Tara. Finally, take her to Wendy's. Now, it's not good enough. Beth is going to talk to Jed after Wendy's. They're coming up with reasons for, like, what are we going to say to Tina to explain why she's going up on the block? Beth says, hey, we can use the fact that Tara said that she would have put them up, which means that Tina did not follow through and stop Tara from coming after them, right? That's a decent reason. So Jed talks to Tina and, Tina says, look, first of all, I'm not very likely to win the veto in the first place. If you're putting me up because you're worried that I might use it on Tara, like, come on, am I going to win anything? Best case scenario is you want Tara up next to Brayden so that you have an option. Whereas if I'm next to Tara, you don't have a choice. It's automatic unless you'd get rid of a Sunsetter. Obviously, you wouldn't want to do that, right? And Jed says, well, here's the thing. Tara said that she would put us up. And Tina's like, I swear I did not know that was going to happen. I did not know that she was feeling that way. He's like, oh, I believe. But here's the thing. I am going to put you up. But if one of the Sunsetters wins the veto, we will use it on you. And I'll put a bigger target up next to you or next to Tara. But at the end of the day, Tara may need to go. I mean, she outright admitted that she's coming for us. And Tina says, absolutely. I knew that she would have to go eventually. I've always said that. And Jed says, and I appreciate that you've always said that. And she says, I think the only thing I would say is that Brayden is a better competitor. Jed says, that is true. But, you know, I feel like I know where his head's at. Whereas, Tara's definitely coming for us. Tara's definitely... she admitted she is. So what are we going to do? Tina really drives home the, hey, but man, we're almost there, Jed. Sunsetter Final Five. All along, we've made this happen. It's like, yeah. Jed agrees. Sunsetter Final Five. That's the plan. Tina really playing up the Sunsetter angle, and obviously because she should. I've seen a lot of people saying like, oh, you know, Tina never should have abandoned the Sunsetters, never should have moved off to a different, different part of the house, so on and so forth, which I really disagree with personally, because first of all, she's getting all the benefit, like, it's as though she was never not a Sunsetter, you know what I mean? Unless she leaves this week, which it doesn't seem likely that she will. They plan on taking her to the Final Four. So she might as well have been a Sunsetter all season long and just blindly, you know, helping Jed and Ty's game all along, right? Like, there's been no, like, all of the work that she's put in against them has not soured her relationship with them, has not been a detriment to her at all, right? In fact, it should have been, like, at the end of the day, basically, at the end of the day, it's very, very difficult to win this game if you can't win competitions. And it feels like that's where Tina is at this point. I do think she could have been more active at times, but helping get Vic out last week, really getting the ball rolling in that week, really gave her side of the house another chance to win, and they still just couldn't win. And at the end of the day, if you can't win, you can't win. That's just it, you know? So that's really where it stands, I think, with Tina. I think she did a lot to better her position by going to the other side, by trying to get the Sunsetters weakened, but she just couldn't win. The oddballs just didn't win anything, and they couldn't make it happen. So I think that Tina played a pretty good game, a pretty decent game here, did as much as she could. But I always said from the very start, this is a very tough road. For a player like Tina, who is not going to be able to win as many competitions and is going to need the right kinds of outcomes to happen. And those outcomes just didn't happen. I do not blame her at all for abandoning the Sunsetters. I think that was the move. That was the only move. If she had been loyal to the Sunsetters all season long, we would have been saying, what is she doing? She's just the loyal soldier that's enabling a steamroll, right? She tried and it failed. And she didn't even pay for it. She's still in the same spot she would have been had she been loyal. I don't mind it at all. But at the end of the day, again, if you don't win, you can't win. So Jed, Kiefer, and Beth are going to debrief here after their after Jed's conversation with Tina. They really dig on Tara for betraying her word and saying she would put, I can't believe that Tara would say she was going to put us up the
audacity.
It's unbelievable that she would do that. She's betraying her word. She promised us last week that she would not put us up this week. And she's straight up telling us she would have. I thought that of all people, Tara would not want to lie in front of her children on television. And she, you know what she said to us? She said, what else was I going to say? I needed to say what I needed to say to stay last week. Can you believe that? Can you believe? What a terrible person. Unbelievable. What are they getting at here? Like, what do you mean? Of course she's coming after you. Like, I am not a Tara fan, but like, of all the things Tara's done, lying to them last week about targeting them is so far from the worst thing she's done. Like, come on, guys. Jed says, look, maybe we don't. Look, if we win the veto, we're either not going to use it and take Tara out, or we are going to use it and take Brayden out. We're not going to put Brayden up and not send him out. There's no reason to burn him like that unnecessarily. So the promise to use the veto on Tina was, oh, wait, it was a lie? Jed, how could you? How could you lie to somebody in this game? Break your word? Say what you need to say to somebody in the moment and then go back on Jed. They're also going to talk about how they are the greatest alliance of all time. Guess who said that one?
Just call me the Grim Kiefer because I am ripping these duos apart.
Ty and Beth are going to talk a bit more. They talk about how annoyed they are with the invisible HOH situation. The fact that Kiefer knew and never told them. This is what I referred to earlier. This is Beth trying to plant some seeds about Kiefer. We know that Beth would like for Kiefer to go prior to the final four. So we know the thing that happened the night before this update is that Beth talked to the cameras. I talked about this yesterday. She wanted Kiefer to be out this week. She was hoping that Brayden would win and that Kiefer would go this week. The idea behind that being that Kiefer is too dangerous to have in the game, and he is the next Victoria. So she's trying to plant some seeds with Ty that, hey, we need to get Kiefer out at some point soon. She says, I'm worried that Kiefer is going to be the one that messes up our shot at the final three. I'm just worried about that. Because Ty is like, well, what if we threw Kiefer the HOH at final five? Then he can't compete at final four. Gives us better chance of winning. That would be a terrible idea. There's no chance Kiefer takes out Tina at the final five over you three. And Beth, I think, kind of maybe recognizes that to some degree. So Beth is kind of trying to plant these seeds about Kiefer. And I think there's a small chance that she is recognizing what I recognized at the start of this podcast, which is that, wait a minute, if we don't get out Brayden right now, then we can't get Kiefer out at six because we still have to deal with Brayden. Or it might be at the very least harder to get Kiefer out at Final Six because Braden is there. That's perhaps going to be what starts her wheels turning, and she is going to start to sort of change her opinion a little bit for now on the Braden situation, and she's going to talk to Jed a little bit later about potentially taking Braden out this week rather than next week, because I think that provides slightly more options to take out Kiefer in the future. But I fully expect that this is going to go back and forth quite a bit. Guys, if you have questions for the day, you can start asking them now because we're wrapping up the timeline here just a bit. But so Ty and Beth talk about Kiefer. They are going to get some videos that they are going to be studying quite a bit. We're not entirely sure what these videos are for. They mentioned on the feeds that it'd be weird if this was for a veto competition because that's not really what they do for veto competitions. So maybe it's for the next HOH competition. They're not entirely sure, but they're studying the videos. It's apparently a difficult difficult videos to study because there's a lot going on in them. So we'll see. But we really end the night here with a Beth and Jed conversation where Beth brings up how threatening Braden is, and Jed agrees he is really considering this idea of taking a shot at Braden this week. So fully expect some back and forth here with the Braden and Tara stuff. The basics are Jed won the HOH, Tara and Tina going on the block, and depending on what happens with the veto, we could see a Braden backdoor. Now, that means that if Tina or Tara win the veto, if either one of them win the veto, Braden should be just flat out gone, although, again, expect back and forth. But if Braden goes up, decent chance they will continue that and send him home. If one of the Sunsetters win the veto, Ty, Beth, or Kiefer, then a discussion will be had. Should we use it to take down Tina and backdoor Braden? If so, obviously Braden would then go. That has not been decided yet. It's still just an idea, and I'm sure they'll go back and forth on it a bunch. If Braden wins the veto, lock it in. Tara's going home. That would be the simplest option this week. But Braden is definitely in some hot water, as is Tara. Small chance that Tina goes this week just because of how indecisive everyone is, but she should be safe. Nobody wants her gone. Kiefer doesn't want her gone. And Beth and them, they just don't want her gone. She's the weakest player. So the veto is going to help decide the outcome of this week. And I genuinely think the performances in the veto will help decide the outcome of this week. If Tina or Tara compete well but don't win, that could be the thing that signals that that Tara or Tina need to go, but more likely Tara. So that's what we got. Stacked wants to know, if Braden wins the veto, would Beth try to get him to take Tara down so Kiefer has to go up and maybe get Kiefer out? That would be an interesting scenario as well. So that is an alternative scenario where if Braden wins the veto, he could use it. And if he does, then Kiefer would have to go up. Yes. However, it depends on who he uses it on and what the guys are thinking, because even if they have to put Kiefer on the block, that does not necessarily mean that they would vote him out. This is a situation. There are seven players, so there are four votes. And that means that it takes two votes and a tiebreaker or three votes to send Kiefer out. And if Jed and Ty don't want Kiefer gone, then they basically could say to Beth, don't vote Kiefer out. Ty and Beth could vote to keep Kiefer. Jed could break the tie and Kiefer would be safe if that's not what they wanted to do. Because if they're forced to put Kiefer on the block, then they may decide, hey, I don't want to send him home necessarily. However, as we know, once they put him on the block, they may start considering their options. Beth might start pushing, and there's a chance they would send Kiefer home. But the difference here is that they would probably be trying to convince Braden not to use the veto, And I don't think that Beth alone could convince Brayden to go against the guys and use the veto, because that would be blowing up his own spot. And he's been trying to work it. So Beth would first have to convince the guys to let Brayden use the veto. And that's also a possibility. But overall, I just don't think it's super likely at this point. So I would not hope for it too much. Brayden bashing session on the feeds right now. Not surprising. Not surprising. What with the time left to play is in the game, is it possible there's a buyback? I don't think so. I don't think so. It's certainly possible, but I don't think there will be. Will Jed do the back and forth? He's already been waffling. Jed is the biggest waffler. He's like, I want Tara out. Actually, I'm really heavily considering, should Brayden go? I think Brayden should go. We'll see. We'll see what happens with the Jed is the biggest waffler of all. What should be Brayden's plan moving forward? Is it just to win out? He also knows that Beth Rowe had their take out the boys arrangement. So should he throw Beth under the bus? That's a good question, because I've seen this a lot online. People saying that, hey, Beth, Brayden should be throwing Beth under the bus because she's talked about taking out the guys. She's talked about how she can't win against the guys. That would be a terrible idea, in my opinion. I think if he tried that, he would definitely be going home this week. And that's because Beth has been pretty open with the guys about the fact that she was saying those things. She's told the guys multiple times that, like, yeah, Roe is dumb enough to have believed that I'm actually against you. Roe really feels like I'm against you guys. So if Brayden comes in and he's like, yeah, she's talked about going against you, they're going to be like, yeah, we knew. Well, actually, that's not what's going to, here's what's going to happen. They're going to be like, oh my God, Beth is against us? God, and they're going to discuss and they're going to be like, do you think Beth is against us? What do you think? I don't know. And it's going to seem like it's working. And then they're going to talk to Beth at some point, and Beth is going to be like, guys, you knew that. I've told you that I was telling Ro those things. You come on, you guys know. And then they'll be like, do we trust her? I don't know. Do we trust her? I don't know. And then they'll just continue to hang out with her. And then eventually it will be nothing. And then it will be nothing and it'll be fine. And there's zero chance they're going to take a shot at Beth this week. So by the time there's any chance for this to do anything, it's going to be cleared up. It's going to be fine. And it's going to be no difference, no change. And it's just going to cause more suspicion to go on to Brayden, in my opinion. All right. Let's see. Do I think it was strange that Vic and Roe did their exit interviews together? No, that has always been the play for double evictions and triple evictions. Let's see. Do I think Beth is a little delusional? They're all delusional in there. Every single one of them. Do I think there's a hidden power floating around? We just did the invisible HOH followed by a double. I think we'll take a break for a week. It wouldn't surprise me if there was some kind of twist next week at 6. That's what I'm thinking. What flavor of waffles are we having this week? Hopefully some, throw some cinnamon in there. Eh? That'd be nice. Kiefer is pushing the backdoor Brayden hard right now. Let me just look at my Twitter here. I don't know. That is not reported as facts. No offense to the chat, but I try not to report things that I cannot verify. The finale should be in about 3.5 weeks or so. Anything else here? Any other questions at this point? Don't they cling to any morsel to justify sending someone out? Yes, that's pretty much the play for any player in the game. I do think there'll be a ball pit twist at some point. Yeah. Is it sealed in my mind that Kiefer wins it all if he's in the end? I do. That is a good point. So something to be aware of with these jury exit interviews. We learned our lesson in season 6. Just because players are high on a player or they rank players in a certain way does not mean they will actually vote that way. In season 6, every single player coming out of the house was like, if Kayla gets to the end, I've got to give it up to her. She's played a great game. And they said about Paris, well, Paris has done nothing. She'll really need to do something if she wants to have a shot at winning, because she would be at the bottom of my list right now. And then Paris won against Kayla 6-1. You got to read between the lines a little bit. And there was discussion about Tina and Tara doing nothing, but Vic did say they've got to do something if they want to be able to win. So I took that to mean they've got to win some competitions. Right now, Kiefer is in the lead, but I don't know that he would necessarily stay in the lead. It did seem to me like the I've got to give it to them was for the trio, for both of them. Vic was pretty pissed at the trio. Ro has never gotten along with the trio that much. The sense that I got from them is that they don't want to vote for anybody in the trio if they don't have to, and they will be looking for ways to not vote for them. That was personally the feeling that I got, but you never really know. It's always fun to ask these questions, because then you do get to read into it and see what might have changed. But that's where we are here with those exit interviews. All right. I think we are just about ready to wrap up here, but thank you guys so much for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed this one. Much slower day. The pace of the game has slowed down for sure here. It feels like it's the end game right now. And as of right now, there's not a lot of intrigue quite yet. I think that once we get the veto played, we might see some action here as they discuss back and forth where they should go between Brayden and Tara. But until then, it's looking like we may have a straightforward week this week, and we may start to wind down the fast pace of the game. But you know what? That's fair. We really culminated there last week with that Vic backdoor and the double eviction. And there's definitely still potential intrigue ahead. So nothing to be too worried about as we start to head toward the end game of season 9. I think there's a lot to be thankful for from this season. So thank you guys so much for joining me. I will be back in just a few hours to talk about the finale, the end of The Circle season 3 in the UK. What a finale. So much to talk about. Make sure you come and join us for that. It's been a lot of fun. So if you haven't checked it out yet, I would definitely recommend it. I'll of course be live every morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that's happening on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. And pretty soon we're going to have The Circle US on Netflix to talk about. So make sure you come and join us for that one if you did not, for The Circle UK, because that's a lot of fun. It's more accessible on Netflix. It's in the US. So that'll be coming up soon as well. And you can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. If you enjoy these solo updates, Twitch is like that all the time, and you can ask me questions and it's great. So thank you guys so much for joining me. I'll see you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.